Welcome to Discover the Secrets of the World's Most Successful People. Please allow me to introduce the author and presenter of this program, internationally known author and speaker, Gary Turek. Gary Turek has spoken before hundreds of thousands of people across the world. He was named Outstanding Speaker of the 20th Century by the International Biographical Center in Cambridge, England. The American Seminar Leaders Association calls Gary one of the world's most respected authorities and trainers on mental power development. Gary has been nominated by several national organizations, such as the National Association of Campus Activities, beating out such people as Colin Powell for the Best Lecturer of the Year. And he is the winner of the Association for the Promotion of Campus Activities Best Lecturer of the Year Award. Some universities which have recently asked Gary to speak include Harvard University, Cornell University, Boston University, MIT, and Tufts. Gary now frequently appears on national television and radio talk shows. Over the past few years, Gary has interviewed and worked with some of the most successful people in the world, everyone from presidents of countries to professional sports teams, discovering their strategies for success so that he may present them here for you in this audio program, enabling you to use these strategies to achieve greater success in your own life. Please join us now where Gary Turek is speaking before a live audience.
For those of you that are going to listen to the audio recording of this, I'm tearing money and they're clapping. Now, right now you're thinking, sweet, you can still tape it back together. By the way, this is not a magic trick. This is a federal offense. No cameras allowed at this point. This is what happens to most of us. We pursue money, and the thing that keeps us from going after what we love, we bury our dreams, we bury the things we really want to do, because we're talked out of it by other people. If you're doing what you love, you're going to put in the work, and you're going to end up being so much more successful. You know, you ever hear the story about the three little boys sitting around, and one boy says, hey, my dad's so fast, my dad can shoot an arrow at a target, and go run and catch the arrow before the arrow gets to the target. So the second little boy's sitting there, and he's all happy, and he goes, my dad's faster than your dad. He goes, my dad can shoot a deer, and he can go and run and tackle the deer before the bullet gets there. Third little boy goes, my dad's faster than both your dads, and he can't hold it in. He goes, my dad can get off work at 4:30, and he's home by 4:15. You cut corners when you're not doing what you love, and it wears away. That's the first quality of successful people. Across the board, they're pursuing careers that they love. Now, one of the things you might have noticed, by the way, is that I speak at a very fast pace, and there's a reason I do that. I could slow down, and if I slow down, what would happen is you might get sleepy. It might remind you of some of your high school teachers. And my goal today, by the way, in the short period of time we have together, is to share as much as I can in the very short period of time we have together today. So what I'm going to do is I would move at a faster pace and give you more content as a result. For those of you that are in favor of moving forward at a faster pace, so you gain twice the content, go ahead and raise your hand. Okay, great, so I'm gonna do that for you. As I keep up the fast pace, the visuals are gonna clue you into some of the most important information that you're gonna wanna be writing down. Now, if you do have anything to write with, grab a pen and a paper as we go through today's program. So as we move forward at this rapid rate, you're gonna wanna be writing some things down. If you do not have any paper, we have some paper for you. Go ahead and raise your hand. We'll get some paper out to you. If you do not have anything to write with, see if your neighbor has an extra pen or writing utensil for you. If not, try to share with them during the program. The reason we're doing this, by the way, with the paper and pencils is this. You forget 50% of what you hear in 1 hour. 50% of what you hear, you forget in 1 hour. 80% of what you hear, you forget in 3 days. You might say, why even bother showing up? If you write things down and you take notes, you increase your retention by 30%. So being that I'm going at a rapid rate, you're going to want to retain this information. Take notes as we go through the program, not just on the visuals, but on anything that you feel applies to your own life, and that'll increase your retention by 30% in terms of the content that we're sharing. Visuals happen to increase your retention by 40%. That's the use of the visuals today. Now, before we get forward in the program, I want to share this with you, because many of us have been sitting here for a while waiting for the program to start, And now we're going to go through the program sitting. One of the things that affects your focus and attention, and many of us freshmen entering school right now, we're going to sit for hours at a time going through class, sitting and reading. What affects your attention? Most of us said our minds wander. Well, one of the things that affects your focus and concentration is blood flow. If you ever notice your mind start to wander, first of all, you want to get up and stretch and move your body for a minute. I'll give you an example. You ever hear somebody come out of the library and say, "Hey man, I just studied for 5 hours. And you know they didn't get anything done? Because you saw the red mark on their forehead? It's been keeping their head from hitting the table. We're going to do something right now in the room that will increase your level of blood flow. We're going to play a quick game to get the blood flow going. So this is the game we're going to play. And it ties into focus and attention, one of the things we're doing today. So let's do this. We're going to play a game called Simon Says. If you guys know the rules, raise your hand. Okay, now if we were playing, you would be out. So what we're going to do is we're going to begin right now. I'm Simon, just so we know we're beginning. Let's go ahead and just take any papers you have and put them down. You're out, 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 you're out. Okay, Simon Says, put your papers down. All right, we're going to get the blood flowing. Let's do this. Just everybody stand up. Yeah, you're out, you're out, you're out, you're out, you're out, you're out, you're out. Anybody that didn't get out at least once yet? That's one. Are we ready to begin? All right, you get unlimited outs. Looks like we need them. All right, so let's do this. Simon Says, stand up. Excellent. And let's do this. Great. Hands in the air. Okay, these are the rules. Simon has to say to do it. So if I don't say Simon Says, then don't do it. Okay? If only the admissions office was here now. Let's try this again. Hands in the air. Good. Okay, Simon Says hands in the air. Great. Shake them around. You're out, you're out, you're out, you're out. Okay, great, hands down. Got you. Simon Says hands down. What's going on? It's funny. Okay, let's try it again. Hands in the air. This is college, we're learning. Okay, Simon Says hands in the air. Great, and clap. Oh, good. Excellent, give yourselves a hand. Almost. All right, Simon Says clap. Great, hands out. Got you. Okay, great, hands down. Let's try this. Simon Says put your thumb out in the air. Simon Says put your hands down, and Simon Says put one thumb out in the air. Now just make a little circle. There you go. Just wiggle your fingers. All right. Simon Says take a circle and put it on your chin. Hey guys, this is your chin. Give yourselves a hand. Very good. Simon Says, give yourselves a hand. Excellent. Great. Have a seat. Simon Says, have a seat. So we got the blood flowing. It's increasing our level of concentration, our blood flow. They did a study of 1,000 students around the country. They asked one question to these 1,000 students all across the country. The one question they asked was, when you graduate, are you going to do what you love? Or are you going to do what makes the most money? What do you think most people said?
Money.
87% said, I'm going to pursue money. 13% said, I'm going to do what I love. 20 years later, they did a follow-up study. You know what they found? 101 millionaires out of the 1,000. And all of those millionaires came from the small group of 13% that said, I'm going to do what I love. Don't worry about making the money later on. They did a study of graduating class at Yale, 1952. They asked one question. They said, how many of you here have clearly defined goals of exactly what you want to achieve upon graduation? 3% of the graduating class at Yale did. 20 years later, that 3% was making more money than the 97% combined. How many of you have clearly defined written down goals? Most of us don't have the clearly defined goals to go after what we want to do. Why? Because we're talked out of it by people. Parents are the best persuaders. You call your dad up and say, hey, dad, can I borrow 50 bucks? Dad goes, 40 bucks? What do you need 30 bucks for? Talk you right down. And many of us have the criticisms as we're trying to pursue our dreams from the things we want to do. Quality number one of successful people is that they're going after the things that they want. This program, by the way, is not a rah-rah, yay-yay kind of program. It's about beating that four-letter nasty F word that keeps you from getting where you want to go. No, not that four-letter F word. Fear. Fear is the thing that's keeping us from going after those things, from doing the first quality successful people across the board, all the top people that I've ever worked with or interviewed or studied, are going after the things that they want, but most of us get caught up and don't do that and end up miserable with our lives, with what we're doing. And it destroys us. How many of you even know in your life somebody that's unhappy with their career and they're miserable as a result of it because they didn't do what they wanted to love and what they loved, right? And what most of us do now is we're in college and 87% of us are going to be going after what's going to make me the money, what's going to put the dollar in my pocket. And I'm 6 years out of school right now, and I have a lot of friends right now that are burnt out, unhappy with their jobs and miserable because they went down the path of money. And I have relatives that they beat themselves up every day because when they were in college, they didn't go after the thing that they wanted to do. And they're miserable now because they didn't, which is the state of a lot of this country. They did a study of 180,000 American workers. And when they studied the 180,000 American workers, they asked the question, are you happy with your job? 80% dislike our jobs in America. 80% of our country is unhappy with how we spend 80% of our day. I am blown away by the number of people in our country that spend 5/7 of their week doing something they don't enjoy so they can try to enjoy the other 2/7. You know when more people in this country die than any other time? There are more recorded deaths in our country between the hours of 7 and 8 a.m. Monday morning. People waking up to jobs they don't like, and it's killing them. It's a pretty sad statement, yet we let money rule our lives, and that's what happens. Vision is the ability to see what does not yet exist. However, most of us don't envision ourselves successful. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger impresses me very much with regards to this. Not the fact that he was a bodybuilder, but something else that happened in his life. Way back, I don't know if you know, and this was an interview I did. This was an interview somebody else did with Arnold Schwarzenegger. The interviewer says to Arnold Schwarzenegger, Arnold, what do you plan on doing with your life now? Because Arnold Schwarzenegger won Mr. Olympia, I don't know if you know, 5 times consecutively. Amazing, unheard of, unbelievable. Nobody can touch the guy. 5 times consecutively, Mr. Olympia. He won 6 times total. So in the interview, the interviewer says to him, Arnold Schwarzenegger, what do you plan on doing with your life now? And with his thick, heavy accent, he says, which I'm not going to attempt to imitate, he says, I plan on becoming one of Hollywood's biggest stars, one of the biggest stars Hollywood have ever seen. That was one of the most crazy statements for him to make. The interviewer laughed in his face and said, how do you plan on doing that? Because with his heavy accent, that was crazy to think he could make it in Hollywood. With his big build, we're growing up with the big guys in the movies, and that's the thing. Back then, that was unheard of. That was not in the movies. So the interviewer laughed at him, the whole world mocked Schwarzenegger and said, yeah, how are you going to do that? And he looked at the interviewer straight in the eyes and said, I'm going to do it exactly the same way I did it with bodybuilding. I have a vision of exactly how I'm going to be, and I'm going to fill my body into that vision. And he did. Vision is the ability to see what does not yet exist. Can you do that in your own life? Do you do that? Do you have a vision of you achieving incredible things? What do you say? Let's wait and see what happens. Let's just go through the day. Let's sort of see what ends up. If you want to achieve incredible things for yourself and you can live an extraordinary life, have a vision of exactly what you want to have happen. Because why is the vision so important? Because that relates to number one. Most of us aren't going after the things we want in life because we don't believe it's possible. We don't think we'll succeed. We have the fear that talks us out of it. Parents, friends, teachers, spouses, people of perceived credibility are going to try to talk you out of the things that you really want to go for in your life. I'll tell you right now, we're in a world and that's what happens. You're going to hear the criticism. The thing that matters is when you hear that, what do you do? Do you believe in yourself and your dreams or do you let them talk you out of it? Constantly throughout my life, I hear my parents talking me out of the things. When I was a sophomore in college, I wanted to go and sell books door to door with this company in Utah. They sold me, and I'm a gullible guy, by the way. One of the reasons I've been successful is because I'm gullible enough to buy into dreams and buy into things. I'm able to buy into the fact that I can triple my reading speed in complete comprehension. I'm able to buy into the fact that I can learn these strategies from these successful people and make it happen myself, and then I can start this business. So this is what happened. I'm a sophomore in college, and I call home. This is almost summertime. And I call home, and I say, Mom and Dad, I found a summer job. They're like, really, what'd you find? I said, well, I'm going to sell books. They're like, really, where are you going to sell books? I said, well, I'm going to sell them in Utah. Being from Long Island, my parents are like, you could hear the silence on the other end of the phone. And I said, no, it's a really cool company. And they said, okay, tell me about the company. I said, well, I went to one of those meetings, you know? They sit around and they tell you and they get you all pumped up about it. But what do you tell them? I went to a meeting. They told me about it. I really didn't have much ammo on my side to tell them about this. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of this. They go to college campuses. Okay, they do it here. It's called Southwestern Company. They get you and they recruit you to sell books on the other side of the country. I think they do that so if it's really tough and you want to quit right away, you don't. Because you can't just go right back home. You're on the other side of the country. My parents asked me, so where are you going to live? I said, well, you go out there and you find a place. You go out there with your car and you don't have a place yet. So you can just imagine their reaction, out of protection. They think I'm crazy. They know I'm crazy. They know I'm gullible and they want to protect me. So anyway, this is what happens. One of the things up until that point, I was very tied to my parents' decisions. And by the way, don't get me wrong. The message is not, blow off your parents and don't listen to your parents. They brought you into this world and they have been alive many more years than us and have a lot of wisdom living in the world that they can share that can benefit us. And very often they're giving me advice and suggestions that I take that are wonderful. The key thing I'm pointing out here is very often though you have a dream and they're out of protection because they love you, they're going to want to protect you and try to talk you out of those things. Parents are the number one killers of entrepreneurs in America. So I didn't go. I was letting my parents control me, and I figured, if I can convince my parents, then I'll go. Because if I can convince them that it's okay, then I know it's okay. So I came home, and all of Cornell, where I went to school, all of the people they recruited were out. They actually were selling in California. So they were all selling in California, they're all gone, and I'm sitting at home trying to figure out what am I going to do with my summer, because I'm not going, and my parents won't budge. And I went into my bedroom, and I sat down, and I grabbed a piece of paper, and I wrote down all the pros and the cons of why I should do this. The old Ben Franklin technique, plus, minus, line through the center. Why are all the reasons I should? Why are all the reasons I shouldn't? All the reasons I should were coming from me. All the reasons I shouldn't were coming from my parents. This is the phone conversation, because I was telling them that I wanted to do this. They said, Gary, the economy was bad. Back then was when the economy was really bad. They said, you're going to get doors slammed in your face. Nobody's going to buy the book. We're going to have to fly you back home. It's going to be miserable. You're going to sell books door to door in the hot sun. He said, I had all these negatives. You're going to lose money. You're going to waste a lot of time. You're not going to enjoy yourself. My parents told me I was glorifying. What I was seeing is, number one, I want to prove to myself, first of all, that I can be number one out of over 1,500 people. Because in my past, I like setting goals. And I like achieving them. And I wanted to just prove to myself once again, because I hadn't set a really high goal in a while. I want to prove to myself I could be number one out of 1,500 people. And that would be an incredible goal and great thing to strive for. Number two, I thought it would be a great opportunity to travel and see the world. Go to across the country and experience that. One of the things that I really wanted too was I wanted to hear this. They had a week of sales and motivation training. I got to hear motivational speakers from morning to night for a week in the sales training thing they gave you. And I thought that would be really cool. I thought it would be an incredible opportunity to see what it was like on my own to go experience the world. So I'm writing all these things that I thought it would be. And then my parents tell me, you're glorifying. You're selling books door to door. The door's going to get slammed in your face and you're not going to like it. I saw all this opportunity and growth. So this is what I did. I wrote down this list. And I was debating what should I do. And now that Cornell, all my students from my school are gone, it was a lot harder. And I called my sister into my room. And I said, Beth, tell me I'm not crazy. I said, this is something I really want to do. So I called my younger sister, a couple years younger, and I said, take a look. Does this look like I'm nuts? I really think this is something I should do, and I feel like I can't do this. She was the one person that said to me, Garrett, you're not crazy. It looks like you should go after and do this. I ended up doing this, and I went out, made the decision to go for it. I went to Utah. First of all, I had one of the most incredible experiences I've ever had in my entire life. I was number one, first of all, out of over 1,500 people my final week of the summer, working all summer, and I achieved that. Number two, financially, by the way, I earned over $2,000 a week as a college student towards the end of the summer, selling the books. Number three, I got an experience that I never experienced before. I went out and I got to get my own car and see what it was like to live on my own and just experience the world, going after something that I wanted. The sales training with those speakers, that's one of the things that helped me achieve my goals and my results of what I'm achieving today. I would have missed out on all of that had I listened to the criticism of all the people. High school teachers, when I was back in town, thinking, should I go? And they said, what do you want to go to Potato Land? And what do you want to go to all the Mormons out there in Utah for? More criticism. It was one of the most incredible experiences I've ever had in my life, and knowing that I went for it and it succeeded was the thing that gave me the strength when I wanted to start this speaking career and go after it. Yet most of us don't. We get buried in the negative criticism. We're right on the edge. And I was on the edge of should I not and should I. That's where most of us live. And then we fall back into the comfort zone where we don't go after it. Quality number one is a vision, and I had a vision of being number one out of 1,500 people. That vision enables you to achieve great success. Patch Adams has a vision. We talked about vision. Here's an example of somebody I worked with that shared me an incredible vision. I want to open up a hospital that we're going to charge no malpractice insurance. Crazy! How can you open up a hospital with no malpractice insurance? That is insane. He was turned down hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. He said, Gary, I'm about 40 years behind schedule. It was over 1,000 times he was turned down. Like you heard, took thousands of times for Thomas Edison to make the light bulb. Patch Adams was turned down over 1,000 times by people to get money to make his hospital. But with the success of the movie, it's finally happening. He sure had a vision, and that helped him push through a lot of negative criticism. Not only that, he's going to get doctors and nurses to work for nothing or close to nothing. How's he going to get doctors and nurses to work for nothing and have no malpractice insurance? This is his vision, to serve people for free, the way he thought people were meant to be treated, with an incredible heart and vision for helping people. And his vision enabled him to achieve incredible success. Vision, like we said, is the ability to see what does not yet exist. Now, what matters if you're going to succeed depends upon who you listen to. Because sometimes nobody's going to believe in you except for yourself. And when we're looking for somebody to believe in us, who do we often go to? The people we know in our lives, our parents and our friends and our family. And those are the people who haven't achieved specifically the thing we want to, and they don't know how it can be done. And often we're going to the people who haven't done it. The best thing to do if you ever want to achieve incredible success is to speak to the people who have already done it. And not only do they say, hey, you can achieve the success, they'll tell you how. Speak to the people. One key thing, go out and ask yourself. Find the people that are doing the things that you'd actually love to do and call them up. I called up, you know, when I wanted to make my first program, I called up Ken Blanchard. He makes 25 grand or more a speech. He wrote the book, The 1 Minute Manager. He's international. He's famous. So I spoke to him. And I said, hey, I'd love to do what you're doing. By the way, as a college student, if there's anything you'd love to do, or if you're not sure, if you say to them, listen, you're doing what I'd love to be doing. Can you help me out? Can you give me some suggestions? What do I do? Not only are these people going to say, yeah, you can succeed when other people are telling you no, they're going to say, do this, this, and this. And he told me, do this, this, and this. And I started doing it. Next thing you know, on the back of the book and audio program, I have this internationally known guy that's really famous in the business world giving me an endorsement. I was with one of my cousins. I forgot what college. It was a college in Connecticut. And I spoke at his school. And afterwards, he's like, well, you know, I'm not doing what I want to be doing. And I really want to be going after creating graphics in my own world of computer animation and this. And his father's pushing me in another direction. So I said, hey, let me take a look at this book. And I picked up his book that he had. And I looked on the back of his book. And I said, okay, there's the author. Let's look. And I looked in the book. No phone number. I said, let's look him up on the web. We looked him up on the web. I said, let's give him a phone call. Most of us are so controlled by fear, we freak out. Why not? Call the guy up. Here's a specific action step you can take that will dramatically increase your success in whatever career you choose. This is the action step. And actually, what I'm going to do is I'll share later how do you know what it is that you want to do, because so many of us don't know. You're going to get really clear on what things you want to have happen in your life, and this will really help you. If you don't know right now, that's okay. I wasn't sure until senior year either, actually. I thought maybe I'd go to grad school. They take the whole of the seniors in one room, and they say, how many of you have gone on to law school? So Cornell, half the room raises their hand. How many of you have gone on to med school? The other half raises their hand. They said, how many of you have gone on to business school? Anybody that had not raised their hand yet, raise their hand. I'm sitting there going, when is he going to ask who wants to be a motivational speaker? So this is the action step to take, and I'll help you figure it out, whatever it is you want to do. There's a book of associations in the library. Either your school library or the local library. It's called Book of Associations. It might have a similar topic or title to that, but it's a listing of all the associations in America. And there's an association for whatever you want to do. I mean, you name it. There's an association from people who are from Zimbabwe that like to tap dance on Friday nights. I mean, you name it, there's an association for it. So find out what you want to do. Do I love writing? Do I want to make a career out of that? Do I want to do something with a revolving around outdoor adventure? Do I want whatever it is? There's probably a few associations. Go into that book of associations, find the associations, and this is how you're going to have those people to call up. Call the association and challenge yourself to call up a couple of those people. They're going to put you in a network with all these different people who are doing the things that you want to be doing. And these are the people that'll help you. I called up the American Seminar Leaders Association and the National Speakers Association. Immediately, I have hundreds of people that I was in contact with that could help me. So what I did was I called one of them up. And he's like, you got to speak for free as often as you can. But he's like, it's going to take 3 to 6 years for you to be able to make it. And it's going to take a long time. He's making me think this is going to take forever. It's going to be a huge tackle to task one of these guys. And he says it's going to take 3 years. One of the qualities is when we have a vision, by the way, we saw the vision. Are you having a grand vision or are you going to take a vision that's eh? He was giving me a vision that's eh. And I had a huge vision. He said, it's going to take 3 years. I said, great, I'm going to do it in 3 weeks. And this is what I did. And you could jumpstart your success in many ways. I took some risk here. And I figured in America, you have instant credibility if you're an author. So I started making my first version of what I called College Secrets at the time. And I started writing. I went to Staples down the block, and I made some photocopies, and I put a little bind, and I called myself an author. And in a period of 2 weeks, I spoke for free. I spoke for free and booked myself. So I booked myself and actually gave the speech in a period of 2 weeks at Harvard, MIT, Boston University, Tufts, and Boston College. So imagine me right now out of college, right out of college. Please welcome the author who's spoken at MIT, Harvard, you know, at Boston University, Gary Turek, and I'm coming out 3 weeks, man. Forget 3 years. Why let other people's limitations inhibit you? Think big. Take the risk. Go out and do it. Yeah, it was a jump start, but it helped. Things came easy for my brother and sister. I always had to bust my butt to do well. I always had to work really, really, really hard in whatever it was, academics, whatever. But the one thing that happened is now, actually, I'm the one that's, and I struggled in school. It was very easy for them. Now I'm the one that's in the Ivy League graduate that gets a few thousand dollars per presentation flying all over the country to give these talks with an international company that's growing right now. Why? Because I take immediate action and I try to apply anything I can. I'm gullible enough and buy into grand visions. So get that book of association, speak to these people, think about what limitations it might be putting on you and what expectations can they give you that are helpful. And not only is this great, but you know, if you say, listen, you're doing what I love to do, can I follow you for a day? Because so many of us aren't sure, but we have ideas that we'd like to do. Call them up. Say, I'll be a gopher for you for the day and experience what the job is like, out of the books, but in the life. And you can follow them, experience it, network, get some ideas. That'll help you. It's not what is that holds us back, it's what we think that is that limits us. It's not what is that holds us back, it's what we think that is that's limiting us. Most of us are limited by what we think, not what actually is in the world. We thought it was physically, humanly impossible to run the 4-minute mile for decades. Everybody knew, the world knew, you can't run faster than a 4-minute mile. Humans can't do that. And nobody was for decades until one guy comes along, Roger Bannister. He broke the 4-minute mile. You know what happened after he did that year? Later that year, a whole number of people broke it. The following year, a number of people broke it. Why? What changed? Nothing changed except for what was up here. They expected now to be able to do it. Now it's possible. So now it starts to happen. What do you expect? Michael Jordan told an interviewer, when he's on, he sees the hoop the size of Lake Michigan. He's thinking, there's no way I'm going to miss. Positive expectation. Having the vision of being successful. A student like ourselves, there was a student, this was years ago though, that shows up for class late. See, he's sitting down, he starts to take an exam, there's questions on the board. As he's sitting down, he doesn't notice, because he came in late, that there were questions on the board in addition to the handwritten paper. So he starts taking the test and does all the stuff on the handwritten paper and takes his exam. And what ends up happening is he walks up to the instructor and he hands it in, and then he's noticing a couple of problems on the board. So he says to the instructor, can I have some more time? I just noticed there's these problems on the board and I didn't realize and I came into class late. So the instructor says, no problem. The instructor says, take the exam home over the weekend and hand it in on Monday. So this kid's psyched and he says, okay. And he goes home and he busts his butt all weekend long working on these two problems that were on the board. He hands it in on Monday. Tuesday morning, there's a knock on his door. Boom, 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 boom. He opens the door. He says, Professor, what are you doing here? Professor said to him, listen, George, you didn't hear me tell the rest of the class because you came in late. If you want to play with mathematics for the rest of your life, play with those two problems. You solved them. Even Einstein couldn't solve them. Here's a kid with the expectation. He went home with the expectation of being able to succeed. He's thinking everybody else must be getting them right. I'm going to get them right. Expectation is so powerful in terms of the results that we produce in our own life. What kind of expectations do you have in your own life of what's going to happen for you? Tomorrow? After college, throughout your life? What kind of expectation do you have? It's what you think that is that limits us. Those are really the only limits. So thinking big, having that big expectation of what's going to happen is the next quality of successful people across the board. You look at any of these successful people, and they are thinking huge. You look at some of their dreams, and you're like, whoa, can you really achieve that? And then they achieve it. Now that you think, because they've achieved it, that they can do it. Like that, you know, I told you I was selling books? What happened? Well, I'm cleaning up. I'm making like $10,000 in a period of a few weeks selling books door to door as a college student. So what do my parents want me to do the following summer? Oh, you're going to sell books again this summer, right? No, I'm going to start an international company. Oh, I don't know if you should do that. Maybe you should go on to grad school first. Now I have this company to get a few $1,000 a speech, and I'm speaking around the country. They're like, oh, you're going to keep speaking, right? No, actually, I'm going to start success clubs on college campuses and start a national organization to help people on their own. And I have these other grand visions, and I brought all these people that I'm training on, and I'm working all these other things right now. But once you achieve the success, then people want you to stay there. And then what we start to do is get comfortable there, too. We think, oh, that's what I do. Successful people, the most successful people in the country whose habits I've been adapting in my own life, are thinking big. They're thinking huge. Most of us right now, we're thinking, okay, what kind of expectations can I expect? Are you thinking huge? Are you thinking big? Because that's the way it's going to happen. I'll give you an example. Here's somebody that you know. Age 4, could not read, could not speak, could not write, could do nothing. Now, how much can you do at age 4? But I said he couldn't speak. Age 4, couldn't speak. He used to mumble the words in a sentence and mumble them back to himself in his own head and just quietly move his lips. His parents thought he was never going to be able to talk. His grammar school teacher told me he was never going to amount to anything. He flunked out of high school. He failed a college entrance exam. And when finally graduating from college, whoever was telling him he's never going to amount to anything, this kid who can barely talk at age 4, who couldn't even get into college with the exam, couldn't get a letter of recommendation. No professor would give the guy a letter of recommendation upon graduating. At age 24, he had what was considered a lowly job in an office as an assistant. Most of us would not be thinking very big at this point for this person, but this person was thinking huge. His name is Albert Einstein. At age 24, he published something which changed the world of science forever. And when he was in what was considered a world of mediocrity, and people told him it was mediocre, he was thinking big for himself. I'm a little touched always by his story. He's actually a family relative. Usually people make the joke, yeah, I'm related to Einstein, I am. So I know a bit about his life. The one thing that happened without all the criticism around him is he always thought big. He was dreaming to change the entire world just working as a little assistant and is working somewhere. You can do incredible things if you think big with all the negative criticism around you. That's the next quality of successful people, that they think big. You know, Lou Holtz once said, most of us are short on dreams, and even of those of us here, if what you did yesterday seems big, you haven't done anything today. So many of us are aiming for things that we can achieve that even if we achieve them, we didn't achieve anything big. So the quality of successful people, number one, and you've heard it kind of weave throughout the whole program here, is that they have goals. I share with you, the 3% of the graduating class at Yale that had goals, 20 years later were making more money than the 97% combined. By show of hands, how many of you have clearly defined, written down goals of exactly what you want to achieve upon graduation? That is a really nice percentage for this group. Congratulations for so many of us doing that. That's really nice. You take a look at studies from Harvard and all these other schools that they've studied, the same thing is true. Those with the goals are the ones achieving incredible things. We're going to do something right now as an interactive exercise for you to see something. So somebody's going to win a prize. By the way, if you're the person that has my initials in red on the back, go ahead and hold up your booklet. You win a prize. Hold up. Actually, the piece of paper, we gave out blank paper when we came in today. If you have the blank piece of paper, excellent. She's got my initials. Let's give her a hand as she makes her way up. You win a prize. Come on up. Excellent. Thank you. Can I take that from you for a second? Okay. What's your name?
Friend.
Friend? Hey, friend. What do you say? Hello, friend.
Hi.
Hey, friend. This is what we're going to do. If you can take this marker, okay, and you're going to notice all the way over there, I put some paper up on the wall. So we're going to walk over there for a second, okay? If it's possible, if we could just bring a little bit of light up on stage, that'd be great. And this is what we're going to do. If you can jump as high as you can, thanks. If you can jump as high as you can and put a mark on the paper. As high as you can.
Once?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Nice, that's really good. Excellent, let's give her a hand, that was great. Very nice. All right. Now, hang on, don't go nowhere. This becomes good now, you'll enjoy. This is your prize, okay? In my wallet I have a bunch of papers. I have a $5 bill. Now I'm going to take this 5, and I'm going to tape it above that red mark. If you put any ink on the 5, it's yours. If not, you owe me 5. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so what we're going to do is they're going to help me determine how high we put this, okay? So what we're going to do is, Wow, what quite a mark you got up there. We're going to go to the top of that. Those of you that say go higher, raise your hand. Stay the same, raise your hand. All right, we're going up just slightly, kind of split room. So we went up, still go higher, raise your hand. Stay the same, raise your hand. Okay, so now, if you have a tip or a strategy on something that she can do to jump higher, do not shout it out, but raise your hand if you have an idea to share with her. Go ahead and raise your hand. In the back, in the white, yes, really loud. No, you, yeah, go ahead. She wants you to run into the wall. No, thanks, good suggestion. Get some running momentum, yeah. And next to her, yes. Yep. Yeah, good for you. In fact, that would be great. When you do it, hold it all the way on the tip. There you go, just like that. Very good. Yes. No stools allowed. In the back row, yes. Creativity in this group is not a problem. That's really good. For the purpose of the exercise, a couple of things though. We can't play darts with it. You can't pull the paper down. And no, like, business partnerships. I'll give you $5 if you jump, you know. Yeah. Excellent suggestion. When you're doing that, swing the arms. And if you have the marker, just careful if you're going to do that, that the marker doesn't go like this. Nice wooden balls. But just get that momentum up there would definitely help. You know, we're going to do something to change. Yeah, okay, go ahead. Yeah, jump from the tip of your feet. I was actually at a program the other day, and somebody said, your shoes give you extra weight, take off your shoes. It's funny, because the next guy goes, hey, your shirt gives you extra weight. We're gonna do things to change things slightly here, okay? What we're gonna do is, in my wallet I have a $10 bill. And what I'm gonna do is, if you get any ink above the 5 on the piece of paper, we're gonna double it and give you 10. So what do we just do now? What was the previous slide? Think big, right? The reward's greater always if you go higher. So we're changing where she's aiming, no? Any last suggestions? Okay, for the 5 or the 10. And remember, just hold it all the way on the very tip. Get that extra distance. It's okay if it falls. Nice! Yeah! Just there! Nice! Congratulations. That's great. Excellent. Wow, that's for you. No, you earned that. Look at that, you earned that. That was great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good, more towards books. Excellent. The only thing is that they charge you $80 a textbook, right? If you take a look up here for a second, one of the things you're going to notice is she puts this mark up here. So if you take a look, you like my cheesy tricks, huh? She got all the way up here. Next thing, if you take a look, and I'll pull off the 5, she got on the 5 and right above the 5. So that's how close she was, right to the very top. And here's where she ended the second time. What a significant improvement. Why did she get higher the second time? Money. Thinking big. She wanted 10 bucks. That's why she got higher. She had a specific goal in mind that she was aiming for. When you have a goal in mind, something specific that you're aiming for, you find out the results that you're producing, and you find out the difference between what you're actually capable of. Today we all have a goal in mind. How many of you would like to figure out, know a way to, first of all, know exactly what you'd love to do and wake up every day with a job you love and also clean up financially at the same time? Right, who wouldn't? So you gotta have a specific goal to be able to achieve that, and that's one of our goals right now, to figure out how to make that happen. The second thing is, we share tips and strategies with her on how to make it happen. Hold the pen in the end, swing your arms, brace yourself, reach up. Really good suggestions, by the way. She applied those, and she got higher as a result of it. You're going to gain specific tips and strategies now, as well as you have been, on what are the top, most successful people in this country doing to make these dreams of theirs happen. So you can get a lot higher in your success and in life as well. And we're going to be challenging yourselves in a moment to reach an incredible goal with something we're going to do. And as a result, you're going to see some phenomenal results for yourself. By the way, I want to just, and I'll give you a chance to win this in a second too. I just want to do a quick survey here though. Because in terms of the length of the program, what I could do is, in terms of how long I've been speaking, is I could wrap things up now, actually, or I can continue forward a little bit longer and give you more of the qualities that will enable you to achieve more success in your own life from these successful people. Those of you that would like me to wrap things up, you might have somewhere to go or something, raise your hand. Those of you that want me to continue forward a little longer, you like this? We'll keep going? Okay, great. Oh, thanks. And I'm here, by the way, not just today, but anytime you need me, I'm going to give you my phone number. This is, if you ever need anything, give me a phone call. That's why I do these programs. I'm trying to make a difference, and this stuff really has made a big difference in my life. So if I can ever help you, I'm going to give you my phone number. I'll give you my email. I'm here to help in any way throughout your time in college or after. And it's an 800 number, so I take care of the phone call. The number is 1-800-601-6248. 1-800-601-6248. Okay, having goals. We're going to do an exercise, and I'm really glad you decided to stay, because what I can continue with right now is one of the most powerful exercises you'll ever do in your life. This is one of the most powerful exercises I've ever done in my own life, and you're going to see right now what happens as a result of doing this, and it all directly relates to the goals we're talking about. The website I have, which is a service for me to you with a lot of free info, is totalsuccess.com. And you could also email me at any time from the website. And I also put a couple of the chapters. I took a couple of sections from this book, and I put it on the website for students. So that'll be available there for you. Okay, what you need for this exercise, get ready. This is really a heck of an exercise. You need to have some blank paper with some space on it. So if you do not have like a piece of paper to really write on, we'll give you some more paper in case you need some. Does anybody need more paper? Like you only have like a little bit left on your page? Thanks. All right, this is how it's going to work. This is a little exercise. It's a game. We're going to actually sort of allow ourselves to do something different mentally than we usually do. And here's how it works. I'm going to ask you a question. When I ask you the question, just answer it yourself. And no matter what comes to your mind when you're answering the question, just write it down. So you're going to have certain thoughts that come to your mind when I ask you this question now. And you might say, well, not that, and you might not write it. Write it down anyway. This is going to be a brainstorm process. Those of you that know brainstorming, no matter what comes to your mind, just write it down. The idea right now is we're going to take a couple of minutes. And as we take these 2 minutes, you're just going to free write anything and everything that comes to your mind as I ask you this question. And here's the question. Question number one. This is your life that you're living right now. Clock is ticking. What do you want to have happen in your lifetime? Begin. What do you want to have happen in your lifetime? What things do you want to experience? What do you want to do? Where do you want to travel? What do you want to have? Who do you want to be? What incredible things do you want the rest of your life to be filled with? Because you're living your life right now. So as you write down everything and anything, as you get going, the juices start to flow and your pen just keeps flowing. And remember, as you're doing this, don't be limited now. Don't be that elephant thinking, no, this is not possible. Write the most incredible things. You know me, all right, I want to pack Madison Square Garden with people coming to hear me speak. Whatever it might be. You want to swim down the Nile River. I don't know. As you write this and create the rest of your life on this piece of paper with some things that you'd like to achieve, think big. No matter how big, no matter how crazy it is, write it down. This is your own list, by the way, so feel free to write everything and anything on here because nobody else will have to see this list. This is your own personal list. And as you're writing, think about this. If you knew just by writing on the paper, it would happen. If you knew all you had to do was write it on the paper right now and it would happen in the course of your lifetime, what would you write down? And write it down. Think big, think crazy, think huge. What do you want to have happen? What do you want your life to be filled with? I'll write down some suggestions up here for you that you can use as a guideline. Like travel. Where do you want to travel? What incredible experiences do you want to have happen? What do you want to have happen physically? By the way, what do you want to have happen physically with your body, emotionally with your body, spiritually? What do you want to have happen in your life? That's what I was getting at with that. What incredible adventures would you want to experience? What kind of jobs? Think about careers. What kind of jobs, many jobs, would you want to experience or try out in your lifetime that you think are really cool? What do you want to have with regards to relationships?
At this point, stop the CD and take 2 minutes to write down the answer to the first question. What do you want to happen in your lifetime? This program benefits those that take action. Take action. Stop the CD now.
All right. Now what we're going to do is write down number two. That was question number one. There's three questions. Number two. Same rules as before. Now, by the way, as I ask the question, remember, if all you knew is, all you had to do was write something down on the paper. Right now, if I propose this to you, you write it down on the paper, it will happen in your lifetime. All you have to do is write it down. What would you write down? Why would you have any second where you're not writing, where you have 2 minutes to write something down? I want to have a jet helicopter that takes me from my own islands that I own. I mean, whatever crazy thing it might be, which is actually like another speaker out there who had that dream and made it happen. Whatever thing, though, that you have that you want to have happen, write it down. As crazy as it is, by the way, so again, no matter how bizarre it is, just write it down. It's the same rules as before in terms of no matter how crazy the idea is, write it down. Here's the second question, though, slightly different. There might be some overlap from the first question. That's okay. Here it is. What do you want to have happen in the next 5 years? Begin.
This is your time again to stop the CD and write down the answer.
Okay, go ahead and wrap up that thought. And now write down wherever you left off a number three. Number three is slightly different than the first two questions. It's the same in the fact that no matter what comes to your mind, write it down. No matter how crazy it is, just write it down. The only difference, though, for number three is that this is what's different. So again, just write down whatever comes to your mind. We'll take a couple minutes and answer this question. You just found out, by the way, for question number three, you just found out right now, you found out that your loved ones are taken care of financially and you're taken care of financially. Nothing to worry about there. However, you just found out you have 3 months, excuse me, you just found out you have 6 months to live. What do you do? Begin.
Once again, stop the CD and take 2 minutes to answer this question.
Okay, wrap up that idea. And now take a look at your first list, then your three lists. And go ahead and take a look and circle the two that are most important to you on the first list. So out of all the things you wrote down on your first list, which are the two that are most important to you? Then go to list number two and circle the two most important to you on list number two. Then go to your list number three and circle the two most important on your third list. It's tough, right? So you're going to end up with six circled, two from each list. As soon as you have all six circled, go ahead and put a star next to the three out of those six that are the most important to you. So you have a star next to three of them. It's okay if you have two from one list. Just make sure you have three stars out of all those six. As soon as you have those three with a star next to them, write those three down on the piece of paper where you might be able to tear it off. Because on a small piece of paper that you can tear off, I want you to write down those three things that are most important to you. Write them on the corner of the page or somewhere where you can just write down those three that you have a star next to. And by the way, you're not handing this in or anything. This is just for you. And see, some of us are finishing up still and some of us are done. If you're somebody that's already finished and you wrote down your three, just hold those three in your hand for a second and close your eyes for a second and vision. Create a vision of that being successful. Remember how we talked about successful people creating visions for themselves? So while we're waiting for a moment, go ahead and pick one of those things that's most important to you and close your eyes and walk through seeing that happen in your mind already. Arnold Schwarzenegger saw himself already achieving the success and filling his body into that. So go ahead right now and close your eyes and envision yourself already achieving the thing that you want. Use as many senses as you can. Picture yourself in the room. How do you feel? How do you feel? Breathe the way you'd be breathing. Experience that moment right now in your mind, created vividly, as if you're there, right now experiencing the thing that you want to have happen. What do you smell? What are you looking at? Who's in the room? Picture the room as colorful and vivid as you can. Use as many senses as you can. You just experienced this thing that's most important to you. How do you feel? Feel the way you'd be feeling. Experience the moment. Create it in your mind's eye as if it already has achieved. And that will help you in making it happen in your life. Go ahead and open your eyes. Right now you have in front of you three things And you have a list of what matters to you most at this time in your life. And the quality of the rest of your life is determined by whether you have the courage to go after these things. The quality of the rest of your life is determined by whether you have the courage to go after these things that are most important to you. Many of us will have these things. Many of us don't even know what it is we want. Right now you have in front of you things that matter most. And many of us won't go after these things because of the fear or the rejection. We think we're not going to be able to. What matters right now, I'm going to tell you something that was told to me by a professional speaker that was passed on to him from a guru from years ago. And it went something like this. If right now a genie appeared before you, and this genie said to you, you have to live the life you've lived so far, over and over again, exactly the way you've lived it, every good decision, every bad decision, everything you've always experienced. If you had to live the life you've been living so far, over and over and over again, exactly the way you've lived it, all the good deeds, all the bad deeds, everything, would it be a time of joy, or would it be a time to start mashing your teeth in? Right now, you have an opportunity to go and make your life happen wherever you want it to happen. Sometimes it's a wake-up call, and it's depressing for people to do this exercise. Why? Because they're not going after the things that they really want. It's a wake-up call, and they're depressed. No need to wait to go, geez, I wish I would have done those things. Now is the time to go after these things. I'm going to share right now with you what the quality of the most successful people in this country are doing to make these things happen. If you were to speak right now with a Michael Jordan, a Colin Powell, an Arnold Schwarzenegger, Vanessa Williams, whoever it would be, right now what they would do if they were in your shoes, if they would be looking at this list and they'd be saying to themselves right now, what can I do within the next 24 hours to make these things happen? Some of us are looking at these things and going, someday. Someday I'll work on this. Maybe this semester I'll start on that. Are you thinking right now, what can I do now? As I leave this room, what phone call can I make? Who can I speak with? What actions can I do in the next 24 hours to make these things happen? If you're thinking that way, you're thinking like these highly successful people in this country. And if you ever get to interview or work with them, you'll see that's their mentality. That's what you got to do right now. Look at your lists and ask yourself, what is it that I can do? Think of something you've been holding back on, right? These things are important to you. Now, I don't mean right now if on your list is to get married and have kids, say, okay, tonight we'll go to the bars. But think about what it is that you can do to make these things start to happen in your life. You ever hear of inertia? They say an object at rest takes 6 times the force to get in motion. Once an object's in motion, it takes 6 times the force to stop it. Successful people get their lives in motion. They say, what can I do right now? And it starts to build. Real momentum starts to build. And as you're on your way, think about this. Like we're watching TV, we're sitting home, and you're in the couch. Major inertia to get you up off your butt, right? Oh, you realize you got to go to the gym or throw out the garbage, but you're so comfortable. It takes 6 times the force to get you just up. Now, say you got to go to the gym, and you actually force yourself, and you get up, and you're on your way. Now, you're packing your bags. It takes 6 times the force to stop you. How much easier is it, right? Because you're on your way. You made a decision. You make an action. You're on your way. That's the same thing with human relations right now in terms of our interactions with reaching our goals or whatever it is we want to do. Get some inertia in your life by taking immediate action. Ask yourself this. What 2 actions can you take within the next 24 hours to make yourself move forward on one of these things you've been holding back on in your life that are critical to you? Because what you're looking at is what's important to you in your life. Most of us are holding back. What can you do? The quality of successful people, the next one, is they take action involving risk. They ask themselves, what can I do right now and what risk might be involved? And they take that action. Because there's risk involved. Yeah, hey, you know who hit more home runs last year than anybody? Who was it? Who was number one in home runs? Right, Mark McGwire. Who's number two? Sammy Sosa. You know who had more strikeouts than anybody last year? Mark McGwire. You know who number two in strikeouts was? Sammy Sosa. When you're aiming for the fence, when you're going for the home run, you're going to strike out. But you're also going to hit the most home runs. Most of us are afraid to strike out, so we don't hit the home run. You know Babe Ruth? He was considered the strikeout king. He also hit more home runs than anybody of his time. So many of us are afraid to strike out. We're not going for the things we want. Successful people take action involving risk. They go for it. I'll give you an example. I have $5 here. Who wants the $5? Who really wants the $5? Oh, you guys don't want to bet. Who really wants $5?
I do.
No, you guys so don't want it. Come on. Who wants $5? All right, let's give these guys a hand. Now, that was cool that you guys came up, but what we usually do, and that's what happened over here, is if you look around at other people to determine your own actions, you miss out. Most of us live life looking around at other people to determine our own actions. Is he going for it? Can I go for it? Like this, right? Like, say I was sitting here and I was going. Like, you saw me going and you were going. Ooh, wait, they're going. That's it. I'm going. Ah, and then everybody's going all out because they're going. I'm going. And so usually people kind of like, you guys came up pretty quick, but usually people are kind of like creeping up. Ooh, are they going? They're going. Oh, wait. No, okay, now I'm going. What's that? Yeah, and you were creeping up, right? Yeah. That's what people do because we're looking around, right? We want to make sure it's safe. We don't take the risk. I might be perceived as rude. I might be, and I'm not saying be rude, I'm saying take, I guess what I was using it as an example. I said take action involving risk. Who wants $5? Take the action, right? Most of us don't. When you look around at other people, your life misses out. I'll give you the example of myself. I wanted to start an international business, so what did I call myself? Right out of college, I called myself Turok Training International. Now, what did my parents say when they saw international? Gary, where have you spoken internationally? You can't call yourself internationally. Come on, Mom, I went to Canada once, spoke to a couple people. I had the vision of where I wanted to be. Remember when we aim for the money, you don't aim for the bottom, you aim way above, and you achieve better results as a result. Well, I called myself Turok Training International because I did. A Malaysian training company found me on the web and saw Turok Training International. They saw the international, they assumed I spoke internationally. They called me up and said, Mr. Turok, we'd like to bring you. They actually called me Mr. Gary. They call you Mr. your first name there. We'd like you to bring you to Malaysia, and if it goes well, I'm gonna go to Indonesia, Singapore, and Taiwan. We can do a joint venture where they take my book and audio program and promote it through Southeast Asia. Had I listened to other people and looked at them to determine my own actions, I would have missed out. Successful people don't look at other people to go for the things that they want. They get up on their feet and they take the action. What can you do right now to take the action that you want to have happen? You ever hear of the game Hot and Cold? Hot and Cold, right? I have a book. How many of you guys know how to play the game? By a show of hands. Okay, for those of you that don't, it's pretty simple. I'm taking this book and I'm hiding it from you. I'm hiding it under this paper, right? So you don't know where it is. So the way we'd play Hot and Cold, like say we were playing the game of Hot and Cold together. Have you ever played this? Okay, so what happens, you would have to guess where it is. Now I know. So you're looking around and you say to me, Gary, am I hot? And I say, no, you're cold because you're looking the wrong way. You go, am I getting hotter? I'm going, no, you're getting colder. You turn around and you say, am I getting hotter? And we go, oh yeah, getting warmer, getting warmer, getting warmer. And it's a game like kids play. And now you say, am I getting hot? I'm like, oh, you're burning up. And then you go down here and you're like, look, and I'm, no, you're getting cold. And you go, oh, and you found it. Oh, and then you get it, hot and cold. If you play life like a game of hot and cold, you know what happens? You end up getting what you want. Most of us, though, we're afraid to start. We're sitting here and we don't want to go the wrong way. Oh, no, I might go the wrong way. I might screw up. That's how you find out if you're succeeding or not. Most of us don't take the action. Like I was playing the game with my cousin. She actually did this. We're sitting across the dinner table. I took a dollar bill and I crumpled it in a vase across the restaurant. I said, let's play a game of hot and cold. She goes, okay. She's looking at me. And her mother and her were sitting across the table. And I said, okay, let's start. She goes, okay. And she's thinking, she's looking around. And her mother actually said, you know, playing hot and cold, you just got to find out where you are and you get better. She's like, yeah, but I'm thinking about it. Stop thinking about it. Just go out and find out where you are. And then you get better as a result. I was speaking, you ever hear, I told you, the two associations I called up. American Seminar Leaders Association was one of them. When I told you to call, get the book of associations and make some phone calls, I called up the American Seminar Leaders Association right out of college. You know what I did? I went to their annual meeting and I sat there with all the seminar leaders to learn. I'm in the meeting and I saw the head guy and I said to myself, you know what? The best way to learn is to take action, right? You got to take action involving risk. You got to do. So I said, the best way to speak and learn how to get better is to speak. So I asked him, I said, can I speak before the whole group and make an announcement that I'm going to give a speed reading session? What I actually did is I went to the head of the hotel, booked a room for myself to give a speed reading session for everybody there because I knew this stuff helped me. So then I go to the head guy, and it was pretty risky to do this. I said, can I make an announcement? He's like, well, I can't have you stand from stage, but you can stand from your seat. I stood up from my seat, and I gave the best 30-second pitch I could. And I said, for those of you that want to learn speed reading after the session is done today, I'm going to have a meeting. Now, by the way, I was scared. I'm going to speak before the seminar leaders. I'm right out of school. Who am I to do this? You might be thinking, who am I to call these people up? Well, this is what I did. The head guy, by the way, said to me, you have to have a room reserved to do this. I said, oh, don't worry. I convinced the hotel to give it to me for free. He's like, how'd you do that? I'm paying a lot of money for my rooms. I went to the hotel. I said, any guests that you want to come to the room, have them come for free to the room. I'm doing a session for the American Seminar Leaders Association. I had a handful of people that came. The results were great. The following year, you know what they did? They billed me as Gary Turok, one of the world's most respected and leading authorities on speed reading and mental power development. They had me speak before the whole group. How's that right out of school to have on your resume and recommendations? Did I take an action involving risk? Hell yeah, I was a risk. But who cares if you screw up? So many of us are so afraid to screw up. You got to aim for the fence, and you have the strikeouts, you hit the most home runs. You got to get up on your feet and take some action. I got a prize for you as a reminder to get up on your feet that I'll give you when we're done. And what that is it's a little eraser that's a sneaker as a reminder to get up on your feet. This is a reminder of what you're learning. You got to get up on your feet and take action. To get in there with your hands. So like say you wanted to grab something with it. You can grab stuff with it. So somebody walks by with $5. So it's a reminder again, the hands of the feet. The most important quality which is going to determine the rest of your life is whether you take action towards these things that are important to you. I'm going to tell you a story right now which changed my life and challenge you to do something right now which will definitely change yours. If you go for it, it'll make these things happen. I was working out in the Powerhouse Gym in Hapag, not far away. And there's an internationally known, the guy's a trial attorney. He broke legal history. I don't know if any of you ever heard of the guy, Ray Zupa. The oldest case ever overturned in this country is a 30-year-old homicide case. Up until him, as a law student, he went to Hofstra. He decides to take on a 50-year-old homicide case. He goes to his professor and asks for help. His professor said, yeah, Ray, I saw you going for the 50-year-old homicide case as a law student. His professor says, listen, Ray, why are you even bothering doing this? 50-year-old homicide case, it's never going to get overturned. This is nuts. You're wasting your time. So instead of helping, the professor tries to talk him out of it. He says to his professor, listen, professor, I can get any idiot to tell me why I can't do something. I came to you because I wanted some help on how. And he left the room. He overturned the 50-year-old homicide case. So very powerful attorney, very powerful person. He's going a little bald, about 6 foot tall, really big. And so we're doing sets back and forth in the gym. And what he says to me in the gym, as we're doing the sets, because he knows I'm a motivational speaker, he says to me, you know, Gary, what would it be like to live life, because he reads these motivational books. So he says, what would it be like to live life on the edge? To just live all out for a week. I mean, for 1 week, to just go crazy all out, don't let any fear hold you back. What would it be like? What a concept. What would happen if you did that? If you just went all out, and he says this to me, right? So we started jamming with this concept. We're talking back and forth. Because, you know, me being the motivational speaker, I'm like, yeah, this is cool. So I said to him, you know, what would it be like if you would ask yourself every second of the day, if I had to maximize my life most completely, what would I do right now? Like right now as you're sitting here, if you were to maximize your life most completely, what decisions would you make as you go through the day for the next week? If you would ask yourself the question, if I knew I would succeed, what would I go for? What would you go for? What person would you call? Who would you ask out? What job would you go for? What changes would you do that you're not doing now that you let that voice talk at him? If you were to live that way for a week, we're talking about this concept. So as we're talking about this concept, I'm going, cool concept. Concept. Not ready to live this way. Ray says to me in the gym, I'm going to live this way for the next 3 days. I'm not ready to live this way. But something about me, I like to step it up when I hear a challenge. And I said, Ray, I'm there with you. Starting midnight tonight, we're going to go for 3 days on the 3-day challenge. So he says to me between sets, because we're doing the bench press, he goes, Gary, you know, he's got this big voice. He goes, for the next 3 days, I'm doing this. And I said, Ray, tomorrow I'm calling the head of Intel and asking for a $300,000 sponsorship to sponsor the programs I'm giving. He goes, Gary, tomorrow I'm doing this. For the next 3 days, I'm doing this. I said, Ray, for the next 3 days, and I was single. I said, for the next 3 days, I'm walking over to any good-looking girl I see, wherever it is, and I'm going to ask for her phone number if conversation goes well. Fear. You know? She's with her mother. You got to go over and say hello. You know. He says, for the next 3 days, I got to do this. I said, for the next 3 days, I'm going to do 500 push-ups a day. One of those days, I ended up doing 1,000 of them. He said, for the next 3 days, I'm doing this. I said, for the next 3 days, I'm doing this. I said, you know, for the next 3 days, I'm waiting with my window shades wide open to just wake up naturally to the sunlight, just anything. I had two and a half pages, single space typed the stuff I did, and I wanted to show Ray. So I came back to the gym. I said, Ray, I lived the 3-day challenge. I got it all listed. Look at this. And Ray's like, oh, the 3-day challenge? I didn't do the 3-day challenge. I said, what? You know, who cares? I just lived on the edge for 3 days. I screamed at the gym. I said, you what? I was on the edge. You've been here. So I started ripping into him. He says, oh, he's a smart guy. He's like, all right, he's trying to quiet me down. He goes, all right, we'll live another one. We'll do another one. We'll set it. This is really good. You'll live another one. I'll challenge myself. We'll do another 3-day challenge. So since then, we've actually lived a couple of the 3-day challenges. When you live a 3-day challenge, there are certain things that happen when you go, oh, I got to do this. That's a 3-day challenge. And your mind goes, you can't do that. The social crap comes up in your head. That voice that talks us out of the things we want comes up. And it starts screaming. Because you're on a three-day challenge, and you want to do something, and you go for it, and you're thinking, it's a three-day challenge. I'm living life for a game for 3 days. And then the voice says to you, I can't do that. What do you do? There are commandments we made for living on the edge. Number one, if you're sweating about a decision, do the thing you're sweating about. For those of you that's taking notes, I'll say it again. If you're sweating about a decision, do the thing you're sweating about. Because during the three-day challenge, there are certain things you start sweating about. When you're going after these things, when you're living life right now in college, because there's so much to do, so much to maximize on, that voice is going to start talking you out of some of the things you want to do. Are you going to do the things you're sweating about? Number two. If you're wondering if it's an excuse, it's an excuse. Because you're going to have all that mental garbage going through your head, and you're going to think, is this real? Is it an excuse? Am I just talking myself out of it? Because you're going to buy into your own reasons. You're going to tell yourself they're real, and it's really an excuse. If you're wondering if it's an excuse, it's an excuse. I'm going to give you an example of something that happened on a three-day challenge, just so you can sort of see what happens on a three-day challenge. And I'm going to challenge all of us to live actually one together. This is what happened. It was a three-day challenge, and you have the most incredible stories that happen in your life when you live a three-day challenge. Really cool stuff happens because you're literally living on the edge. So here's an example of something that happened. I'm on a three-day challenge, and it's about 10 to 10 at night, and I'm speaking at a school. I forgot what state I'm in. And what they're about to do is they're checking me in. It's about 10 to 10. The three-day challenge ends at midnight, by the way. This was one of those three-day challenges where I said I have to go over to any good-looking girl and ask for her number. So I check in, I go to my hotel room, it's about 5 to 10. I'm going to my door, and diagonally across the hall and to my left, I turn around for a second, and there's this girl taking blankets from the bellman. And so I just a quick split second, I see her, and she's taking these blankets, and from the quick split second that I turn around, she looked beautiful. Takes them and goes inside, and I go into my room. And what do I say to myself as I'm going into my room? Oh no, I have 2 hours left of the three-day challenge. I gotta go and knock on the door. So I said to myself, this is nuts. I'm in a hotel. So I'm just gonna go and I put my stuff down in my room. I said, let me just get settled. Which is the first thing that most of us do when we have things that we wanna go for. We procrastinate, right? So let me just get my stuff in my room. And I started thinking about this and I was getting really nervous because I'm thinking, I'm living a three-day challenge. I made a commitment for 3 days to just live life like a game. For 3 days, life is a game where I ask myself, if I wanna maximize my life most completely, what would I do? If I were to, I'd go over and say hello. But you know what? That voice came up. And it made a lot of sense. You're not gonna go, I'm in a hotel, man. It's 10 o'clock at night. By the time I ended up finishing going through all this conversation and going around my room, what do I do? I gotta go over. It's a three-day challenge. I gotta take the risk. It's like 5 after 10, 10 after 10. And I realized, first of all, she might be sleeping. Second of all, you don't know if she's sick. And that's what they don't know if there's a kid in there sleeping. The blankets might be for somebody. You don't know if there's a guy in there. He might be big, you know, standing behind the door. So all this garbage came up in my head. Were they real reasons or were they excuses? I'm thinking they're real reasons. These are real reasons. I'm in a hotel. You can't do that. There might be a guy in there. You don't know if she's married. You don't know if they're sick. You don't know if they're asleep. You can't go over and knock on the door. We buy into our own excuses. Is it a social constraint that's limiting me? Some social garbage that I bought into? Heck, you knock on the door. You go over and you say hello. But I can't do that. I'm in my room sweating, thinking about this. Because I'm thinking, I got to live a three-day challenge. I'm writing this book. I'm writing a book now. It's called On the Edge, Living Life with No Excuses. It's going to be a bestseller in the year 2002. Yeah, how do you know that? You have a vision. Remember, you got to have a vision. Number one on the New York Times bestseller list. Specific, clearly defined, written down goals. So 2002, you'll see it on the New York Times bestseller list. This is number one. So in any case, that's the book, right? So I'm thinking, I'm writing the book, I'm talking about this, and I made a commitment to live a three-day challenge. So in my room, going like this. Oh, shit, I can't go. How many of us do this, right? You have that voice. So I'm thinking, I got to go. I got to live the three-day challenge. Is it an excuse? Am I making excuses? Oh, wait a second. If you're thinking it's an excuse, if you're wondering if it's an excuse, it's an excuse. Commandment for living a three-day challenge, number one. Number two, I was sweating. If you're sweating about a decision, do the thing you're sweating about. I was literally sweating in this room, going back and forth, thinking, you got to knock on the door. So it's a quarter after 10 now. I'm pacing back and forth, and I said, that's it. You know what? If you're going to live this, you got to live this if you're going to write the book, and you got to make this commitment to live. You know, just live it like you're on the edge for 3 days. I push myself past this. So this is what I do. My heart's going like this, you know. I walk outside. I walk across the hall. Heart's still going like crazy, like this. And I'm sweating, and I knock on the door. Somebody answers the door, and I think it's her, but I'm not sure if this is the person. Dressed similarly, but it was a real quick glimpse, and this person's younger and somebody I'm not interested in, just too young. But I'm wondering if this is the person or not. So I'm there standing at the door going, hello. She's like, hello. Looking at me funny. I said, because I don't see anybody in the room. I said, you know those blankets you just got from downstairs? She goes, yeah. I said, what, do you just call down to the front desk to get those? She goes, yeah. I said, oh, okay, thanks a lot. You hear the door shut, laugh goes, shh. And that I consider one of my greatest successes of my life. Because there the fear was screaming. God, I was in this room and I was gonna let the fear beat me. And I made an active choice to own my life and my decisions. I wasn't gonna let the fear beat me and control me. I made a conscious choice to control my own life. If I were to do what I knew I would do, if I knew I would succeed, what would I do? I would have gone over there and talked. If I would have maximized my life most completely, I would have gone over there. I was letting fear and social constraints hold me back, and it almost kept me from going for it. There are other powerful examples where people's lives have changed. That was just a fun one I wanted to share with you because it sort of encompasses everything about the three-day challenge. This is what we're going to do for a moment. For a moment, we're talking about fear as a theoretical concept. We're going to introduce it into the room. That feeling of fear is the thing that controls us. Right now, that feeling that happened is the thing that's keeping you from going after the things you want. Most of us do that. You ever hear of the comfort zone? You're going to notice something up here for a second. What we're going to do here. This is where you are. Anything inside this circle is in your comfort because you've already done it before. So you can go here and do this. You can go here and do this. Why? Because you've done it before. You're comfortable. You know the outcome. If you go to the edge, what happens? Your body responds and goes, oh shit, I don't want to be here because I don't know the outcome. It's uncertain, right? What if she says no if I ask her out? What if I go for the job and I fail and I'm a failure? What if? And you know what happens? Most of us are so scared to go here that we don't and we never end up achieving the success we could. If you go past the edge and you do the thing you fear, what you end up finding is you grow a new, larger circle of comfort. And now everything inside this area is within your comfort zone. Why? Because you've done it. So many of us are so buried and trapped that we're so caught up in this comfort zone that that's what's keeping us from going after the things. And here's the thing right now. If you let that fear and feeling control you, you're not going to own your own life as you're going after these things. I'm going to give you right now a challenge, and this is what I do with the audiences sometimes. Once in a while, I go on a three-day challenge myself. I'll go on with you starting midnight tonight. Am I ready to do this? Actually, right now, I'm not ready to go on a three-day challenge. I wasn't sure I was going to actually do this until right now. But I'm going to make a commitment to go on a three-day challenge starting tonight. It's good to do it on a regular basis with you. If you're ready to commit with me individually, whoever's ready, to go on a three-day challenge. And I say whoever's ready, by the way. How many of you are not ready? How many of you don't feel ready or feel some fear about doing this? Even if you are ready, you feel some fear, right? Here's the thing about going to the edge. You never are ready to go to the edge. You go there when you don't feel ready. Because you never feel like doing it. Here's the misconception in this country. We only do things when we feel like it. I'll start going to the exercise program when I feel like it. I'll quit smoking when I feel like it. And we link feelings with actions. And if you wait until you feel like doing it, it's never going to happen. The key is to do what you don't feel like doing, but you know you should do to improve the quality of your life. And eventually you feel like doing it. The reason I'm calling my book On the Edge, Living Life with No Excuses, is because on the edge is where you truly experience your life. Well, you really experience the great things. I'll give you an example, because so many of us are in fear. I had the most incredible experience happen right before my program today, where I actually lived on the edge before the program with something that has never happened before to me ever. Yeah, I'm going to share it with them. Should I keep it a secret? Let's all give Amy a hand, by the way. She's been helping out together to put the program together for today. I had an on-the-edge experience, and I had the fear going, wait, maybe you shouldn't do that. Maybe you're going to get hurt. I don't know. Right before the program. I don't know if you realize, but it was a little mess to get everything ready in time. You saw me running around like a nut. One of the reasons was I got locked in the bathroom before the show. There's a little room back there. No, it's all okay. It's in fun. They have a nice little room back there for me. So I was in and out a couple times, you know, just taking care of things, filling the balloons with some water and stuff. But right before the show, I had to go to the bathroom. So I said, okay, I'll be out in a minute. And I hear them clapping because they were just ending the previous program. I go and I shut the door behind me, do my thing, go to the bathroom, come out. It was jammed. The door was pretty hard, but it locked. And I stood there banging the door and screaming, Amy! I got you right for the show! I look in the mirror and I just started to smile. I go, this is funny. What did I do? Because I realized she was not coming and we had no setup time left. Talk about visual aids. I left it back here to show you. Please excuse the corner. I climbed up into the ceiling. I pulled myself up and I'm looking around and I'm going, should we live on the edge? I never climbed through a ceiling before. I said, but it's just the next room right over. Look around. I figured I'll just tiptoe on the metal things and there's wires and stuff going. I'm squeezing through. I lived on the edge. I did the thing I feared and I made it to the program. After living on the edge for a three-day challenge for a few experiences, your comfort zone is growing so wide that there's things that you can do. That now most of us start convincing ourselves that it's not safe, it's not real. For the most part, we can't achieve these things. Is it possible I would have gotten hurt? Yes, but I took caution, and as I was slowly tiptoeing along the little metal pieces, lowering myself down, I lived on the edge, and this is what I'm going to do with you, by the way, right now. Starting midnight tonight, if you're ready to go on a three-day challenge, by the way, I should not say if you're ready. If you're not ready, but you're going to commit anyway, because none of us are ready. All of us have the fear. If you're ready to commit and you're going to start a three-day challenge tonight, stand with me now if you're going to go on one. Now, most of us, and before you actually stand, and we'll take a second, before you stand, most of us right now have a fear, and that voice just popped up, right? Right now you're thinking, oh, geez, do I do this with him or do I not? I'm not ready. I'm not that kind of person. And all these excuses, remember how we said successful people think big and take action? Now's your chance to take the action to own your life. Right now, if you feel that fear of going on and you're debating, do I do it, do I not? Here's a commandment for living a life worth living. If you're going to create a life worth living, do the thing you're sweating about. Push yourself past the fear to the edge and you'll live an extraordinary life. So right now, I'm going to give you the opportunity. Stand with me now if you're ready to push past your fear and take a three-day challenge. Now, by the way, when you live a three-day challenge, it's not doing anything illegal or harmful. It's all stuff that's going to help you. Yeah. It's not just bungee jumping. You might say, you know what? There's these major issues that I've been not doing in my life that I want to push past in relationships or whatever it is. And make a list of certain things you say, you know what? I haven't been doing these and I'm going to push past them for these 3 days and live on the edge and maximize my life. And when you come back to me 3 days later and we share stories and I'll post them on the web, you're going to be amazed at the kind of stuff that happens. Just email me the stories. So if you're ready or not ready, either way, go ahead and stand up if you're going to start a three-day challenge starting midnight tonight.
Yeah.
I applaud you. You can still continue to stand. And right now, if you're wondering, do I do this or do I not, and you feel the fear of doing it, you're letting your life possibly own you. You might have a reason for doing it later, or you might just be letting the fear control your own actions and decide to stand now and say, you know what, right now, I'm going to take control of my life. And whether I have this fear screaming or not, I'm going to stand, and this will be a symbol of me for the rest of my life owning my life and not letting that fear own me. And I want to congratulate for you, for those of you that stood. Now, for those of you that are on the edge right now of wondering, should I stand or not? You can choose to do this at any point in time in your life, but remember, the first thing that happens that most of us do is we procrastinate. The quality of the most successful people in this country is that they take action now, immediate action in the next 24 hours. Now, I congratulate for you, for those of you that are sitting, because for those of you that are sitting and are choosing not to stand, there might be some pressure right there, and you're controlling your life and saying, this is what I want for whatever reason it might be. So congratulations to you for sitting, if that's what you choose to do. For those of you that are choosing to go on a three-day challenge, what we'll do is we'll write our names and emails on a piece of paper and whatever stuff you want to email regarding that three-day challenge. I have a website that I'm creating right now. It's called liveontheedge.com. In a couple of weeks, that's going to be up with all our success stories from all the schools I've spoken at. So you can see the incredible stuff that happens on a three-day challenge. It's liveontheedge.com. Great. Have a seat. I give you guys a hand for standing. Let's give them all, or ourselves a hand for choosing to do this. I want to leave you with the idea in mind just that if you were just to go for the things you want, if you would have just figured out what it is you want and push yourself past your fear, number one, figure out what is it that you love to do. Go after these things that are on your piece of paper. Have a vision and visualize it incessantly of exactly what you want to achieve. Three, write down the goals. Get it written down and review it in mornings and nights, and that'll help you achieve it. If you were to just go there and live on the edge, you're going to experience the most incredible things you've ever experienced in your life, and you will live an extraordinary life. I want to thank you so much for coming today. You guys have been wonderful. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. What you're looking at right now is, I told you the title of the book, On the Edge, Living Life with No Excuses. What I'm going to offer you is a free newsletter. So once a month, you can get all the content about living on the edge. I'm writing it with Ray Zupa. So if you're interested, at the very bottom of this piece of paper, write down your email. And I'll email you once a month the latest stuff that's coming from my upcoming book. So you don't have to wait till 2002 to get it. This is a service for me to you to have this kind of stuff. I have a list of 50 different commandments for living a life worth living, for living on the edge, and all the kind of content that I was sharing with you. The other thing that I have here is the website as a service for you. The website has a couple of these sections, and it has free readings from my book. It's got motivational messages, kind of like the kind of content we covered today. It's got puzzles. It's kind of this stuff. How to develop a master memory, how to test yourself to double your attention. This is all the kind of stuff that's in the book and audio program. So take it out of the library. It's so worth your while. How to remember names, techniques for memorizing facts, lists, formulas, and dates, three cues for improving your memory, increasing your grades on exams, a time-saving secret, when to review. We did this, that's within 5 hours. That's a key point right there. Reviewing your notes very early. How when to take breaks to increase your attention. Secrets of academics, how to get extensions on your papers. How to know what to highlight. The best location to take your exams to study. A system that you only need to carry one book all day. How to take advantage of other people's notes to increase your grades. How to save hours and get better grades on research papers. How to use your body's physiology to increase your concentration. How to prevent falling asleep in class. Test taking tricks. Two tricks to use when you draw a blank on a test. Four steps to help you remember what you've forgotten. How to choose the right answer when you don't know it. Three rules for getting better grades on essay tests. And three things to get more points on your already graded exam. I use that one actually quite a bit in school. Very helpful. But anyway. Let's see. College secrets, how to find a professor that only gives A's. How to predict what's going to be on the exam. How to find out secret information on your exams. Guys, keyword, legally. How to get into any course even if it's closed out. How to get hundreds more from financial aid. You can get hundreds more from financial aid if you just knew who and when to ask. It worked for me. And it worked for my brother, and he taught it to me. If you just know who and when to ask, catches you have to be on financial aid to begin with, but you can get hundreds more just by asking. How to save possibly 100 each semester on buying books for classes. And see. Faster reading, increasing your eye span, a warm-up exercise before you begin reading, an exercise to train your eyes to read faster, techniques for processing information more rapidly, five powerful speed reading exercises, and increasing your concentration with these four exercises. So that'll be available in the library. The final service that I can help you, if I came back every month throughout the year, how many of you, if I would just offer that, might come to some of those meetings, if I had more information like this every month? I'm going to offer this to you for free, and this is how we're going to do it. This is a brand new thing I'm offering. I'm just this semester, I decided I like motivating and helping people and sharing the strategies for success, but it's not enough to come here and leave and never come back again for you. Sometimes we need more once a month. So this is what I'm setting up. I'm setting up a success club on all the college campuses I speak at. And once a month, I teleconference in. I'm growing this organization right now where once a month, you're going to gain the strategies of me and the most successful people I'm working with and interviewing. I'm going to take some of the other top presenters handpicked on the college circuit that I think are the best, and have them come to the teleconference so you can hear their programs of the valuable stuff that helped them. And it's all geared towards making you more successful. The club is called The Winning Edge. What is it that's going to give you the winning edge in life? Enable you to be more successful. Right now, the best thing you could do to get the winning edge is to get involved with all the things you have in campus. You have so many student activities organizations with wonderful people to meet and get involved with. So The Winning Edge, by the way, is my organization that you can be a part of. If you're interested, just write down your name, your phone number, and your email, and we'll contact you and let you know when you can hear me once or twice a month. I'm also going to donate a whole library of motivational books and cassettes that made the biggest difference in my life so you guys can have access to those motivational books and tapes. So if you're interested in something like this, just write down on this piece of paper, it'll be over here on the corner, your name, phone number, and email. And if you're interested in helping out and being president of this, because I need a leader to help to make it work, go ahead and circle your name and then speak to me afterwards so I can talk to you to help you get this started at your school. Again, thank you so much. Best of luck to you guys, and I'll be around answering questions. Call me if you ever need anything.
If you'd like more information on Gary Turek's programs, you can visit www.totalsuccess.com. To find out more about Living on the Edge and the 3-Day Challenge, and to read people's adventures from those who took the 3-Day Challenge, visit www.liveontheedge.com. If you'd like to help start a success club and be paid as a representative, please call 1-800-601-6248. Again, that's 1-800-601-6248. This program is intended to be used in a productive and positive manner. Results may vary. We disclaim any responsibility resulting from any use of this program.